Some of you are saying, this is the craziest place I've ever been. I never seen a preacher preaching a ball jersey. My brother over here, he didn't think it was strange I was preaching a ball jersey. He just thought it was, he's from the Boogie Down Bronx. He just thought it was strange because I was in a Mets jersey and said I needed to be in a Yankee jersey. What are you doing being in a Mets jersey when you're supposed to have a Yankee jersey on? Hey, we're in the South. At least it wasn't the Braves, right? Ooh. Ooh. No, we've had church this morning on the ball field. They're having a big ball tournament, Wise, and I had the privilege of going out and doing devotion with a bunch of kids on a ball field. And it was another powerful experience to see these little kids. I don't really know the exact number, and that's not the point, but there was a lot of little kids, and they were just sitting down on the grass on a ball field. And we did a message that God gave us, and we asked them if they were going through troubles and struggles, and they needed God's help right now. And hands went up all over the field. I don't know how, it was just hands. And we prayed together. So if you got a problem with me preaching in a ball jersey, you just have to get over it. Because I had an appointment with the Father this morning on the ball field. And honestly, it's nicer than what I usually preach in. So, those of you, it's good to see everybody. Good to see our new people. Good to see our old people. We got a lot of people out for the holiday, and we're praying for them. Have a good weekend, good time with their family, good rest. Come back ready. You know, a lot of times, and I'm so happy to see my guys still. Man, I'm so glad we didn't have a bunch of one-hit wonders. We had a fire experience last weekend for a lot of us, and you know, I still see them in here rocking, and that's awesome. Because honestly, if you guys hadn't been, I'd have come and found you and punched you in the throat. I wasn't going to mess around. I'd have shook you, my man. I'd have shook you. No, I wouldn't. Well, I probably would, but. So it's good to see my guys still on fire today. A lot of you guys that are used to me and have put up with me and are still here, God bless you. A lot of times, as you know, I preach. God uses me to preach about things I can relate to. A lot of times it's sports and war and battle and swords and blood and gore and, you know, analogies that are biblical, but God uses in ways, the things we can relate to, okay? I'm a guy and those are things I relate to, but I think we're going to mix it. I think God's going a different direction today, and that's okay. I think that's okay. God's going to look at something different today. He's going to have us look a little different today. He's going to stretch me a little bit today because we're not going to talk about battles and wars and muscles and swords. We're going to talk about a deep thing inside of us all that we need, okay? No matter how big and tough and bad you are, I think you could have asked Mr. Bodybuilder last week, Peter Putnam, he told you the same thing. Really behind all those guys, all of us guys and girls, insecurities. Deep down inside, there is a need, there's an emptiness, there's a void that we're born with that can only be filled by God. But there's a need to be wanted, to feel wanted. And you know, it's something we don't like, especially us guys. And girls are better, but sometimes as life happens and we get jaded and we get hurt, sometimes girls put up walls too, women. You put up walls, and it's hard for you to admit that kind of thing too. But we all want to feel wanted. You see, these little children, and if you go out and in the community and you minister to children and youth, you see a lot of little kids that want to be wanted. You see a lot of youth that want to be wanted. You see a lot of people that really haven't always had that in their life. And maybe that's some of you guys here today, that maybe sometime in your life, as a young person or even in a marriage, you didn't feel wanted. And that can create a scar. That can create a problem as we deal with that the rest. Sometimes we deal with those things for years and years. There's people in here and other places, not just here, but there's many of us that have sought many things. You know, be it drugs or be it alcohol, be it workaholic or be it, you know, things, sex. Oh, the grass is going to be greener. I got to be wanted. Maybe if I went to somebody else, I'd be wanted. I'm in a marriage, but you know, and I've been married 20 years, but I'm bored. He doesn't want me. I want to be wanted. I want to be appreciated. I want to be wanted. Biggest, baddest dude, man. Deep down, they were a little baby. And they want to be wanted. They still want to be wanted. And I just wonder if there's not people in here today that have struggled with that still. Issues from your past from your childhood. There's split homes and there's nothing. I'm not. That's just hard stuff. That's just real. I mean, we can deal with it how we want to deal with it, but it's just real. We just got to deal with some things that are real. We just can't pretend anymore. I'm tired of people getting together in a little box and putting a steeple on it and pretending there's not real problems. There's real problems. You have real hearts. It's time we deal with them. It's time we deal with them. Going to play any more religious games and play we're in Disney World and play like everything's just peachy in the world. Play like our kids don't know anything. Our kids know a lot, and it's time we deal with the subject instead of running from the subject so we can teach them through the power of God's Word and stop letting the fools in the halls of the high school teach our children about real world issues. It's time from the pulpit that we start dealing with real world issues. It's time in our homes that we start dealing with real world issues. We're real here. You're real here. You're real in your home. Your kids are real, and they have hurts. And you have hurts. You have deep down this idea that you want to be wanted. And honestly, there's people in here today that are struggling with that very thing. There's married people. Don't go there, preacher. Struggling with the idea that they're not wanted. There's young women and older women struggling with the idea that they didn't feel wanted as a child. There's men that had gulfs and barriers between them and their father. They never felt they lived up to some of the things that their fathers expected. They feel the need to be wanted. So I pray that God has a powerful word for you today. I don't say these things to tear you down, but I say them to tell you that there's a man. There's a man that wants you so bad. He wants you so bad that he came to this earth and he climbed on a cross. And if you would have been the only one on the earth, he would have still done it. And he bled and he died for you because all he ever wanted was for you to love him back. All he wants is for you to love him back. Will you love him? Oh man, we get so crazy about celebrities, and we're all guilty of it. We get to know a celebrity just a little bit. You know, they retweet some kind of little celebrity thing, and we're proud, aren't we? Huh. I know a celebrity. And we name drop. We get it any kind of time we can to throw it into conversation. Somebody knows me. I know. You know what? There's never been a man like that man. There's never, hey, you can keep your Justin Bieber and whatever, you know. You can keep your Jay-Z. You can keep your LeBron James. I'll take the King of Kings. There's never been a man like this man. And he wants you. He wants you. You are wanted. You are wanted. You are wanted. One of the greatest lies of the enemy. And I know we need on our physical self, sometimes there's vacancies. But if we really understand that we are wanted by the King of Kings, a lot of things take care of itself. So if you have your Bible, three weddings. Three weddings. I bet you're glad it's not 30 weddings. Three weddings. We might not get to three weddings, but I'm saying three weddings. Genesis 24. Genesis 24. We're going back. Old school. Genesis 24. If you have it and you're able, you could stand for the reading of the word. If you're not able, that's okay. Genesis 24. Man, I'm going to tell you something here. There's a powerful presence of God in here today. Do not let anything interfere with that. Don't let distractions take you out of that. Man, if you know, what is a distraction? You know? I mean, you can watch a movie and people bouncing on their cell phone, and you can tweet and Facebook while you're watching a movie. You know, you can do, look, don't let the enemy get in your head. Just stay focused on what God's doing here. God wants to do something in your life here today. God wants to do something. I didn't come to play church. I didn't come to play religion. Your daddy never came to play church. I didn't come to play church. I'm here because God loves you, and God sent me to give you a word to help you in your life. Are you ready? Genesis 24. Abraham was now a very old man, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. One day Abraham said to his oldest servant, the man in charge of his household, "Take an oath by putting your hand under my thigh. Swear by the Lord of God of heaven and earth that you will not allow my son to marry one of these local Canaanite women. Go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son Isaac." The servant asked, "But what if I can't find a young woman who is willing to travel so far from home? Should I then take Isaac there to live among your relatives in the land you came from?" "No," Abraham responded. "Be careful never to take my son there. For the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and my native land, solemnly promised to give this land to my descendants. He will send his angel ahead of you, and he will see to it that you find a wife there for my son. If she's unwilling to come back with you, then you are free from this oath of mine. But under no circumstances are you to take my son there." So the servant took an oath by putting his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham, and he swore to follow Abraham's instructions. Then he loaded 10 of Abraham's camels with all kinds of expensive gifts from his master, and he traveled to the distant Aram Naharaim. When he went to the town where Abraham's brother Nahor had settled, he made the camels kneel beside a well just outside the town. It was evening. Remember that word. And the women were coming out to draw water. "Oh Lord, God of my master Abraham," he prayed, "please give me success today and show unfailing love to my master Abraham. See, I am standing here beside this spring, and the young women of the town are coming out to draw water. This is my request. I will ask one of them, please give me a drink from your jug. If she says yes, have a drink, and I will water your camels too. Let her be the one you have selected as Isaac's wife. This is how that I will know that you have shown unfailing love to my master." You may be seated. The story of Abraham. And we're going to try to move pretty quick as the Holy Spirit allows me, but I want you to get what's going on here. Sometimes we look at the Old Testament when I was young, I kind of thought it was a little more boring than some of the New Testament. That's just being real, right? That's how I thought. I didn't really understand it and how it pointed to everything in the New Testament. They're a perfect reflection of each other. Everything in the Old Testament points to the coming gospel, points to the coming Christ. And you can see so much of Christ in all these stories. In fact, theologians call it typology. You all have heard me talk about that before. Foreshadowing of Christ. In all these stories, there is foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. In the story of Abraham and Isaac, you can see the gospel right through it. You can see the gospel right through it. Who was Abraham? You all know. He was the one whom God identified himself to and said, "I am God, I am your God." Not only that, he made a covenant with him. He first identified himself with him, then he made a covenant with him. Guess what? You do certain things, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a father of all the nations. Your descendants will be more numerous than the stars. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Out of your seed will come everything. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Abraham, you have a destiny. A destiny. So there was a covenant. Abraham, we can sort of come to represent the father. The father. Because Abraham, Father Abraham, is known as the father. But the promised one, the son, the one that would be the key. Because you got to understand, if you remember, Abraham was old. Abraham was an old dude. Abraham, this was pre your help. Whoa, I can't believe you went. He was an old dude. That's just real. I'm just being real. He was an old dude. So it seemed impossible. It seemed like God had made a promise that was impossible. Some of you come here and you find salvation. You come to an altar and you pray. And God puts a destiny. He puts a word in your heart. He puts this idea that something great's going to happen. He gives you an idea of a destiny. But some of you, some of us, some of me, yeah, me, feel like our circumstances make that impossible. We're all about it when we're excited. We're all about it when the emotion's here, when we're jumping around the altar, when the songs are thumping, when we first come. I'll take on the world. I'll charge the lion. I'll take on Goliath. I'll go to the end of the world. Jesus, it'll never happen to you. I'll do anything for you, Jesus. But life happens. And we get home and the enemy starts working our head and we start arguing with people and we start getting discouraged and the things don't go as fast as we like, don't go what we like. We have struggles, we have issues. And we start saying it's impossible. So that was Abraham. He was an old dude and God made this promise. And he had to have faith. And he wasn't perfect in his faith. He took some issues that matters in his own hand at times. But his faith remained strong. And Isaac came about. Isaac would represent Jesus. Because Isaac was the son who was sent to fulfill the promise. Isaac was the promise. And I know, stay with me. We're getting somewhere. So, God gave him Isaac. And many of you think when Isaac was born, that's what we remember about Abraham. He was old and his wife was barren and Sarah, and they had a baby miraculously because they were too old. And you think the story ended there, but the story never ended there. The story doesn't end when God births expectancy in your life. The moment it's birthed in your life, the moment destiny's birthed in your life, the story doesn't end. That's where we miss it. We think the story's over. What happened? He had to go. He had to raise Isaac. He had to feed Isaac. He had to take care of Isaac. When Isaac got sick, he would have had to lay hands on him and pray and have faith. He had to persevere because it wasn't enough for Isaac to be born. Isaac had to grow older and have a wife and have children. So the story didn't end when the baby was born. Your story doesn't end when you come to an altar. It just begins. The adventure just begins. That's when you got to roll your sleeves up and you got to start feeding that dream. You got to start taking care of that dream. You got to start praying over that dream. You got to persevere a few things. So Isaac represented Jesus. And two chapters before, I just read in chapter 22, the father had to be willing to sacrifice the son. Wow. The father sacrificed his son Jesus for you and I. But God provided the sacrifice so he was not harmed. And then in chapter 23, Sarah, the old bride, had to be put away. And so we get to chapter 24. We're at the birthplace of the miraculous. We're at the point where this destiny is about to take place. Isaac must find a bride. The father must find a bride for his son. The father had to find a bride for his son Jesus. So he sacrificed him on the cross to make you worthy because he wants you to be the bride. 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 So that's typology and that's what's happening here. This is a very important story because if Isaac doesn't get married, he doesn't marry the right person, the whole thing's thrown off. The whole thing's thrown off. It wasn't enough just to be born. It had to be raised, and had to be married, and had to produce offspring. So he sent a servant. Who does the servant represent? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to go find the bride. So he goes. He has to go back to his people. He goes to the right. At this point, he has to go to the right person. Has to go to the right place. Where does he go? Well, if you want to find a bride, what characteristics do you think God wants in his bride? Do you think you got to be the prettiest thing in here? You think you got to be the handsomest thing in here? You think you got to be the best preacher in here? The best singer in here? Oh man, you think all that? What's the number one characteristic he wants from his bride? He's looking for somebody in a well. He's looking for somebody who's thirsty. He's looking for somebody who's thirsty. We pay too much attention to the outside. We pay too much attention to the pretty clothes and the dress codes and the, oh man, this person. Hey, we do it in churches. I'm not saying we do. I'm saying they do it in churches. Oh man, this person. Did you see that visitor come today? I bet they would tithe really nice. Come on, man. I'm looking for some thirsty people. I don't care if you got a dime. I don't care if you got a nickel. I'm looking for some thirsty people. I'm tired of that junk. Man, did you see who was in the audience today? They can play the guitar really good. They would help our praise band. Come on, man. Hey.
has a soul. What reason are they here? Are they thirsty? God's looking for some thirsty people. And he's asking you a question today. Are you thirsty? That's the only question. Are you thirsty? So he went to a well. Now I want you to pay attention. It specifically says no word in this Bible is accidental. Sometimes it takes us a while to get it all. And sometimes we'll never get it all. We don't. Because, you know, you can preach the same message, and some of you heard it 10 times, and it comes out different. You can hear the same message 100 times. This man here has probably heard more, but they all sound different, don't they? God still keeps speaking. God still keeps speaking, but whatever word's important. When the servant went to look, he had to make the oath. He put it under his thigh. That's like for us, making a blood bond, blood pact, shaking hands, making a deal, a contract, a covenant. He made an oath. I'll go find you the bride. I'll follow your instructions. So he went to the well. He went to the place of his family and he went to the well. The Bible says it was evening time. Why was it evening time? Well, at that time period, you got to understand, women came to the well, respectable women, 2 times a day. The morning and the evening. It even says it there. That's the time the women would customarily come. So if you wanted to find a woman, I mean, you know, I'm just an old country boy. But, you know, you kind of go where the women are, you know. You want to fish, you go to a lake. I mean, I don't go up in the desert to fish. Man, y'all take it home. That's good preaching. That's good preaching. I'm smart, aren't I? So if you want to go find a woman, you go where the women are. So they went to the well in the evening time because the women would all come in groups. It was safer. It was safer. That's a rough time period, you know. We don't have cell phones and police everywhere and video. We're on video all the time. This was a dangerous time. And for these women to go to the well would have been dangerous. So they would come in groups for safety. And he found the woman there. And he made this, God gave him this idea, the servant. He said, you know what? Just ask for a drink of water. And the woman that will give you a drink and give 10 of your camels, all 10 of them a drink, that's the one. Let me tell you something. This is an important point. That's not an easy task. Sometimes we hear those stories and it's like the princess and the pea. And we say, oh, well, that's easy. I just get a little dipper and go around, boop, 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 high fives and we're done. But you know how much it says to give each of the camels all the water they wanted. Do you know how much a camel drinks? I mean, they store it in their hump. Do you know how much a camel drinks? Imagine the work. You see, this is a well. How many of you used a well before? Some of you haven't used a well. If you've been to Gold's Gym, they got those ropes. You can practice like you would do a well. Listen, it's hard work because you're pulling up water out of that thing. How many buckets would it take to pull out and water 10 camels? That's no small. A stranger comes up and says, I'm thirsty. And this lady's willing. You know what? God wants a bride that's willing. That's willing to roll up their sleeves because there's thirsty people out there. There's thirsty people out there willing to keep pulling up water. Ty, he ain't looking to quote Peter for no one-hit wonders. He's wanting somebody to come back and come back and come back and go out there and go out there and go out there and go out there. And give some thirsty people some drinks. And it ain't easy. It ain't easy. Oh, you think her hands started to hurt? Maybe even bleed. I don't know. Bible, I mean, I'm not putting words in it. But I know it would have been tough. And in my mind, I've done that. If you've roped, I bet some of these have climbed ropes in their training. Time and time again, 10 camels. It's a lot of work. See, this had to be a very special young lady that he was looking for. So, whoa, God, you sent the one that I was looking for. And so what he says was, before he finished praying, he saw a young woman named Rebecca coming out of with a water jug on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, who was the son of Abraham's brother Nahor and his wife Milcah. Rebecca was very beautiful. That's a good plus. That's a great plus. You're supposed to laugh at that. And old enough to be married, another good plus. But she was still a virgin. She was still a virgin.
She went down to the spring and filled her jug and came up again, running over to her. The servant said, please give me a little drink of water from your jug. Yes, my Lord. Yes, have a drink. And she quickly lowered her jug from her shoulder and gave him a drink. When she gave him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too until they've had enough to drink. So she quickly emptied her jug into the watering trough and ran back to the well to draw water for all of his camels. The servant watched her in silence, wondering whether or not the Lord had given him success on this mission. Then at last, when the camels had finished drinking, he took out a gold ring for her nose. I don't think women ought to wear. He took out a gold ring for her nose. He took out a gold ring for her nose and two large gold bracelets for her wrists. Whose daughter are you, he asked. And please tell me, would your father have any room to put us up for the night? Do you have any room for the Father tonight? Do you have any room for God in your life? Do you have any room for God to come and change your life? Do you have any room? Oh, do you have any room? I am the daughter of Bethuel, she replied. My grandparents are Nahor and Milcah. Yes, we have plenty of straw and feed for the camels, and we have room for the guests. The man bowed low and worshiped the Lord. Praise the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, he said. The Lord has shown unfailing love and faithfulness to my master, for he has led me straight to my master's relatives. He put a ring on her nose, gold, costly, put bracelets on her wrists. You know what religious folk can be guilty of doing? We're all about the rings. We're all about the bracelets. We're all about the gifts of the Spirit. But we're not about the beasts of burden. You want the bracelet? You want the ring in your nose? Are you willing to put up the camels and feed them and take them in your house and give them straw? Are you willing to do the work? You want the blessing, but are you willing to do the work? The Holy Spirit, His purpose is not just to have a party. Oh, that can happen. But His purpose is to give you power to go out and change your world. We got to stop looking at the bracelets all the time. We got to stop wanting the rings all the time. And we got to start paying attention to some thirsty camels. Thirsty camels. So he goes back, and I'll skip for your sake. He goes back and he meets with her family, and the first thing he does, he tells them the whole story. Oh, how many of you all who have been newly, kind of new to this thing, have come to Christ recently, have just, okay, you just go to people and you just tell them. Oh, you just tell them what Jesus has done for you. I mean, how many of you have done that? I mean, you just can't wait to tell them. So he had to go tell them the story. You know, when something, God does something miraculous, and you just got to tell people about it. Whoa! Man, so-and-so was healed. Whoa! So-and-so was hooked on drugs and they hit the altar. Whoa! I was an addict and now I'm free. Whoa! Look what God has done in me. So he tells him the story. And as we skip ahead, once he finishes the story, Laban, who's her brother, Rebecca, said, Laban and Bethuel replied, the Lord has obviously brought you here. So there's nothing we can say. Here is Rebecca. Take her and go. Yes, let her be the wife of your master's son as the Lord has directed. When Abraham's servant heard their answer, he bowed to the ground and worshiped the Lord. Then he brought out silver and gold jewelry and clothing and presented them to Rebecca. He also gave more expensive presents to their brother and mother. They ate their meal, and the servant and the men with them stayed there overnight. Listen to this part, though. But early the next morning, Abraham's servant said, send me back to my master. Listen to what the family said. But we want Rebecca to stay with us at least 10 days, her brother and mother said. Then she can go. No, no. Stay a few more. Let her stay a few more days. Not today. See, God's calling people to be part of the bride. God's calling people who's wanted, who doesn't feel wanted. And he's calling you today to come forward and take his love. He's saying, he's giving you a love note. Will you go with me? Yes or no? There is no maybe. He's asking you a question. Will you love me back? And some of you in your mind right now, the devil's playing tricks. The enemy's playing tricks. And what he's telling you is, not today. Oh, 10 days. You can come back in a week or two. You got to get a few things straight on your own. You got to get a few things straight. Then come back and come. It's not the time. This isn't the place. This is not the place for me. I don't know these people. Oh, I'll go back to my home church and do it. I'll do it when I get when things are right. I'll do it when it's convenient for me. Just give us 10 days with her. Then you can have her. Jesus, give me another couple weeks. Then I'll give you myself. Jesus, oh, could you imagine? Could you imagine, again, this is rated R for real. Could you imagine going up to your bride-to-be and proposing? You're the ugliest thing I ever got on one knee for. You know what? That was off mic. Those of you on the internet, you don't even know what that was. I'm married so I can do this. Can you imagine getting on your knee to a lady that you want to spend your life with? And you say, I love you with everything. And they look at you and they say, well, sounds good. Give me 10 days to go be with some more guys. Y'all married? What if she had said that, man? Give me 10 good days. I got a little living to do. I already booked my tickets to Vegas. Just give me 10 days. That's funny. But that's what we do. And that's not funny. God calls us. And we think about all the excuses and we say, yeah, one day I'll get right, but just not today. Give me 10 days. But you know what? We're not promised 10 days. And I don't preach macabre and I don't preach ambulance, funeral home set messages, but the reality is there's a lot of people that wanted to give 10 good days and they're spending all their days suffering. Never knowing the love of the Father. Never knowing what it's like to be the real bride. So you don't have 10 days, my friend. You say, well, you don't know that. I know that today is the day for salvation. I know that because my Bible says it. So, obviously the servant knew that couldn't work. He said, oh, don't delay me. Jesus is, don't delay me. I want you now. I want you so bad. Don't hold out for me. My love is perfect for you. I want you so bad. Don't delay me. Don't delay me. The Lord has made my mission successful. Now send me back. So I can return to my master. Well, they said, we'll call Rebecca and we'll ask her what she thinks. He's asking you. Are you willing to go with this man? They asked her. That's what he's asking you tonight. Are you willing to go with this man? Oh, not this man. That man. The man who died on a cross. And he loves you. And he just wants to help you. And no, as I said earlier, we're not pretending there's no real world problems. You're going to have problems. You're going to get a... You come and you accept him and you accept his love. It's the birth of a relationship. And you'll grow and that relationship will get strong. And that destiny that you get, it'll come. It might come quicker. It might come longer. It'll come. He'll come. Some of you just been finding some things. That God is calling you to be about. You've been on the road a little while, you know. But God is still just birthing fresh things. So the question is, today. You know, I had two more weddings to go to, but I'm not doing it. Nah. You'll have to wait another time to hear about them other two weddings. They're powerful. But I think the Holy Spirit is talking to people right now. I do. And I'm not good at, I don't have programs. In fact, I don't even have a note today. So, you know, we'll just have to go with the Holy Spirit. He's asking you personally. It's personal. This is not for your neighbor. I mean, it is, but it's not. You know how we say that? Oh, this is a great message for somebody else. It's for you, my man. It's for you, ma'am. It's for you, sir, ma'am, ma'am, sir. It's for you. He's asking you personally. You say, well, I've been to an altar. I've said a prayer. Great. But do you have a relationship? Are you in a real relationship? How are you sold out? Are you sold out? You said yes, obviously. You expect some things out of him. And you, sir, you expect some things out of her. You expect her to be faithful only to you, correct? And that God can heal things. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we expect things when we're in a relationship. Are you in a real relationship? Are you faithful to him? Do you love him? Or are you taking other lovers? Are you sneaking around his back? Do you think he doesn't see? Do you think he doesn't know? Do you think he doesn't know what's in your heart? He knows. He knows. So the question the servant asks, the question the servant is asking today, the question the servant is asking you today is, will you go with this man? You want to be wanted? Will you go with this man? You want to be wanted? Will you let him want you? You want to be wanted? Will you say yes today? How many times did he hit his knees carrying a cross on his back for you? How many times under the weight of the sins of the world as he's trying to carry that heavy cross did he hit his knees? And each time he's asking you, do you want to be with me? Do you want me? I want you. Will you go with me? I want to take you places. I don't want to see you sit in some pew forever and never do anything. I don't want to see you just say I'm a Christian and live any way you want. I want to take you places. He wants to take you places. He wants to take you to dreams, to destiny, to new places. He wants to take you places. Will you go? And she replied, yes, I will go. Yes, I will go. So they said goodbye to Rebekah and sent her away with Abraham's servants and his men. The women who had been with Rebekah, childhood nurse, went along with her. They gave her the blessings as she parted. Oh, sister, may you become the mother of many millions. May your descendants be strong and conquer the cities of their enemies. May your descendants be strong and conquer the descendants of your enemies. This is real. God wants to bless you. He wants to give you a destiny. He wants to say things for your life and your family's life. I'm not playing a game. Rebekah and her servant girls mounted the camels and followed the man. Followed the man. She had to follow the man. Anywhere along that great journey, she could have headed back home, but she had to follow him. It's not enough to say some words. Brother, you got to get up and you got to follow a man. You got to follow a man. You could walk away sad. You could say, no, I can't do that, Jesus. I can't give all. Like the rich young ruler, and you can walk away sad. Or you can throw down your nets, throw down your boats, and say, I'm going to follow a man.
I'm going to follow a man, Grant, all the way to the cross. So she followed the man. Oh. Meanwhile, the son, who was home in the Negev, had returned from Baal-Haroi. And one evening, as he was walking and meditating in the fields, Jesus is walking in this place. He's waiting for a bride. He's walking these aisles saying, "When's somebody going to come? I want them. I want her. I want him. Who's going to come?" He's walking these aisles. He's been walking these aisles all day. He's been walking these aisles all week waiting for you. He's been waiting for this moment. There are no accidents, friend. Oh, I just showed up today and somebody invited me. And some old long-bearded, shaggy guy invited me. Cody? Oh, Brody. No, Odie. Oh, I'm just accidentally here. I don't know why I'm here. I've been telling Mr. All Right, come. I'll just come out of obligation. I don't know why I'm here. I just came for... You are here because God predestined this moment from the beginning of time. And if you are here or you're not there and you can hear the sound of my voice, he's asking you a question. Will you come? I'm waiting. Will you come? Can you not see it? Oh, gentle, my voice. Can you not see this in your mind? See it. Oh, we're a visual generation. We got to have a phone in our head or an iPad in my head. I got to see something. See it. See the fields. See the sun. Just walking. See out from a distance. The camels are coming. Pastor, you said for a long time. The camels are coming. Look out on that distance. Have you ever been... I know you've been, some of you have been out west to the desert. Some of you have been to the cornfields or the ocean or even a big lake. When you look out and as far as you can see that horizon, that flat line horizon, and all of a sudden there's a little dot. The sun's waiting. And that dot gets closer and closer. And you think, he was wondering, did my servant do a good job? Did he bring me my woman? Did he bring me a bride? I want a bride. And as he looked, and they got closer and closer, he could just see. Oh, he could see your face. He could see your face. Oh, how the joy. Oh, I want her. I want him. I want her so bad. Oh, he was in the fields and Rebecca looked up. The bride looked up and saw Isaac. She quickly dismounted from her camel. Oh, who is this man? Somehow you want to know who's this man that would make a selfish, prideful, arrogant lawyer throw it all down and say, I will go after him. I will preach the gospel and I don't care what nobody thinks. A messed up man, a flawed man who's messed up so much. Oh, some people say, oh, I heard you did this. And I heard, yeah, I did. I did a lot. But by the grace of God, I'm a changed man. Who is this man? Who is this man? She said, as she jumped off her camel. She jumped. We're waiting. Sometimes we wait for preachers to drag us to an altar. Maybe somebody will drag me to an altar. He wants you. And he wants you to jump off that camel and look him in the eye and say, I love you back. I'll love you back. And he wants you to run. He don't want you to walk. He don't want you to have to be begged. Oh, I keep picking on you. When you proposed, you didn't want to have to beg. You wanted her to want you back. He wants you to want him back. Oh, and he replied, the servant, it's my master. So Rebecca covered her face with her veil. Then the servant told Isaac everything he had done. We could go, but we're going to go. And Isaac brought Rebekah into Sarah's tent. The old bride who'd been put away, but the new bride got to come in the place and dwell intimately in the tent. Oh, in the tent, friend. That's intimate. That's intimate. He's tired of people claiming they love him and they have, internet relations. You can't really love somebody on the internet. I'm not saying you can't meet somebody on the internet. But at some point, you got to get close to somebody. You got to feel their heartbeat. You got to know them. You got to know them intimately. Intimately. So he brought Rebekah, the bride, into his mother's tent. And she became his wife. He loved her deeply. And she was a special comfort to him after the death of his mother. So he's here, friend. We ain't doing no more weddings. One's enough. He's looking for a bride. He's looking for you. And he's just asking you a question. I don't want any more excuses. Because they won't work anyway. I mean, you can give me an excuse, and that's fine. I mean, I'm nobody anyway. But there's no more excuses. Let me fix this. Well, I did this morning. I did this last night. So, what do you do right now? So what? So what? So what? You did what last night? Oh, he wants you right now, just like you are. Just like you are. Every head bowed. This is the question. It's not my question. It's not my question. Because I'm nothing. It's his question. Nobody's looking around. I can look around. I verify that. We don't have any cheaters or peekers. Nobody's looking. He's asking each and every one of you. I want you to see that in your head. Every person in here. Don't you zone out. This is a moment that could change your life. I want you to see that scene. I want you to see that son. Oh, nail-scarred hands. He loved you enough to die for you, and all he wants is for you to acknowledge him. You ever felt like that as a kid? You try so hard to get somebody's attention. You do so much, and it seems like they won't pay attention to you. Friend, that's us. He died so hard to get your attention. And he just wants you to love him back. If you want to love him back right now. If you want to love him back. Nobody's looking. I just want you to raise your hand. Say, I'm not ashamed. God, but I'm not ashamed. Keep him up. I'm not ashamed. I just want to love him back. I want to love him. I'm not asking if you've been, God bless, keep him up. I'm not asking if you've been to an altar before. I'm not asking you those kind. We'll get to that. God will take care of that. I just want to know, do you love him back? Do you want to love him back? Are you ashamed of him, or do you want to love him back? Keep him up high. Who's not ashamed? He's saying, will you love me, yes or no? If that's you, I want you to raise your hand and say, yes, I do. Yes, I do. God bless all those hands. Raise them high. Raise them high, because I don't want him to think you're ashamed of him. I don't want him to think you're ashamed of him. Oh, God, let us not be ashamed of him. Just raise him high. I want to love you back, God. I want the real thing. I want more of you. I want all of you. I don't want some pretend. I want you to want me, and I want to want you. Oh, we're going to do something radical. Just keep him up. Just keep him up. Just keep him up and listen to him. We're coming to a close. God bless you, honey. We're coming to a close. Just keep him up. You say, I'm tired. Switch hands. I'm tired. Switch hands. Come on. Here's what we're going to do. When there's a wedding, don't get scared by this. When there's a wedding, you have to walk down the aisle. Why do you have to walk down the aisle? Because you're making a public proclamation that I'm not ashamed of this woman, or I'm not ashamed of this man. I don't want to marry a woman who's ashamed of me, who don't even tell people we're married. We wear a ring on our finger because we want people to know that we love each other. We're making a covenant. So when there's a wedding, people walk down the aisle and they say, I'm not ashamed. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three. Everybody still look, eyes closed. When I count to three, when I count to three, this audience, this crowd's going to stand. I mean, listen, if the devil's telling you you're alone, there's a lot of brides in here today. This place is full. You're not alone. I'm going to count to three. And I want you just to come forward. I won't bug you. If you want prayer, I'll pray with you. If you want some quiet time with the Father, I'll give you that too. But if you're not ashamed and you're willing just to walk down the aisle and kneel in front of him and kneel in front of every man and say, I love him back. I love him back. Would you do that? I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, just come on. All over this room, there's so many hands. We'll just come forward together. We're having a wedding. Here comes the bride. Are you ready? One. Oh, are you ready? Two. Let me stay 10 more days, man. Let me stay a few more days. Let me get a thing straight. But today, God loves you. He says today is the day. Are you ready? One motion. Come on. Three. Come on. All over this building. All over this building. All over this building. All over this building. Come on. All over this building. All over this building. All over this building. All over this building. Oh, don't fight it. Nothing to be ashamed of. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Just say, I love you, Jesus. Just say, I love you, Jesus. All over this building. Just say, I love you, Jesus. No, this isn't no scary thing. This isn't no scary thing. I love you, Jesus. All over this building. I love you, Jesus. Oh, don't quit. There's others that raised their hand. And you say, well, why do I have to? I don't know. God told you to raise your hand, so just come on. Just come on and love on him a little bit. Just come on, love it. Hey, he may just want you to take a stand today. There may be people who need you to take a stand. Your wife, your family. Somebody might need to see you take a stand. Just come on. Just come on. If you're boxed in an aisle, just say, excuse me, I got to go. Oh, come on. There's people in here. There's people in here that want more. You want more love in your life. You want more of God. Come on. All over this building. Come on. Worship your God. People are still praying. We're going to keep praying. This altar is open. But I just want to say this to you. There's a few people in here that I really believe God told you to come on down the aisle and just see what this is about. Maybe the enemy is cheating you out of it and saying, well, I don't understand, and what good would that do? And, you know, I mean, I've been where you are. I promise you I have. And I don't really know what to tell you except if you feel that tug in your heart, what you got to lose, man? What you got to lose? You say the altar's blocked. We'll make room. In fact, we're going to sing this song again. And this people at the altar is going to keep praying and loving on their daddy. They're going to keep loving on the son. They're going to keep loving. And if you can't get to this altar and you want me to pray with you, I'm going to put this mic down and I'll just come. All you got to do is kind of look at me, wave, and we'll come back and we'll do it out of the way, because I know the altar is blocked. It's part of a little church. So if you can't get here, just raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Let him love on you, all right? One more. Just get it all we can get. Just keep going.